بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الصادق الوعد الأمين. أيها الإخوة المؤمنون، أيها الشباب المسلم، يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام: ريح الجنة في الشباب. والشباب لهم مكانة كبيرة جدا في الإسلام، كيف لا؟ وقد جعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قائدا على جيش فيه كبار الصحابة كأبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، هذا الجيش جعل قائده أسامة بن زيد، عمره 17 عاماً. هل من شاب يطمح أن يكون قائد جيش ومن جنوده كبار الصحابة؟ أيها الإخوة، سيدنا عمر مشى في الطريق فرأى أولاداً صغاراً، لما رأوه تفرقوا، إلا واحداً منهم بقي واقفاً في مكانه، لفت نظره قال: يا غلام، لم لم تهرب مع من هرب؟ قال: أيها الأمير، لست ظالماً فأخشى ظلمك، ولست مذنباً فأخشى عقابك، والطريق يسعني ويسعك. دخل على عمر بن عبد العزيز وفود المهنئين، تقدمهم غلام صغير، فانزعج، قال: أيها الغلام، اجلس وليقم من هو أكبر منك سنا. فقال هذا الغلام: أصلح الله الأمير، المرء بأصغريه، قلبه ولسانه، فإذا وهب الله العبد لسانا لافظا وقلبا حافظا فقد استحق الكلام. ولو أن الأمر كما تقول لكان في الأمة من هو أحق منك بهذا المجلس. ودخل على عبد الملك بن مروان وفد يتقدمهم غلام، فغضب وقال لحاجبه: ما شاء أحد أن يدخل علي حتى دخل، حتى الصبية؟ فقال: أيها الأمير، إن دخولي عليك لم ينقص من قدرك، ولكنه شرفني. أصابتنا سنة أذابت الشحم، وسنة أكلت اللحم، وسنة دقت العظم، ومعكم فضول أموال، فإن كانت لنا فعلام تحبسوها عنا، وإن كانت لكم تصدقوا بها علينا، وإن كانت لله فنحن عباده. فقال: والله ما ترك هذا الغلام لنا في واحدة عذرا. هكذا كان الصغار في بداية الإسلام.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. After the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brothers and sisters and teenagers in Islam, the Shaykh started off with the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he says that the teenagers are the wind of the paradise. The teenagers are the wind of the paradise. And the teenagers have a great status in Islam, and why shouldn't they have when Islam was upholded by those teenagers? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a troop where the great companions are in it, the example of Abu Bakr and Umar and the rest of the great companions who all the time speak about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, assigned a teenager from among them who's only 17 years old as a leader over all of them, which is Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And who would not love to be in that status? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did did that to give the teenagers the value. And once Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was walking in the street, and there was a young little kids playing around in the street. So when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as we all know, he used to all the time have the haiba and the dignity with people fear him, those youngsters ran except one of them. Those little kids that were playing around, they all ran except one of them. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was amazed from the braveness of that kid. So he told him, why didn't you run like your other fellas? Why didn't you run like the other friends of yours? So he said, oh Umar, you're not oppressive. You're not an unjust leader for me to run away from. And I didn't do anything wrong. So I could run away from you. And the street fits both of us. This is a young teenager that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu met. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu rahimahullahu ta'ala, once he had a delegate who came into his palace. And in front of those delegates, there was a young teenager. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was amazed, how could these delegates, this group of people, have a young teenager who leads them? So he told him, who were you to come and lead them? He said, oh Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the person is with the smallest things in him, with his tongue and his heart. The person earns his respect with the smallest things that he's got, with his tongue and his heart. Another story at the time, Abdul Malik bin Marwan, another teenager, young little teenager who walked into his palace. Abdul Malik bin Marwan was amazed. How could this teenager just walk into his palace? So he screamed out to his people around him, to his soldiers, how could you allow just anyone to enter my palace? How could you just allow anyone to enter this place without authority? So this young teenager told Abdul Malik bin Marwan, he told him, oh Abdul Malik, it's a time of drought. And the flesh, our flesh is decreasing, and our bones are nearly going to break. And we need some of the generosity that you have. If this wealth that you have, it's ours, then we have the right to take it. And if it's yours, then donate it to us. And if it's for Allah Azza wa Jal, then we also have rights to take from this portion of the sadaqah, or we have rights to take from portion of this wealth that you have.
أبو حنيفة النعمان رحمه الله تعالى كان يمشي في الطريق فرأى غلاما أمامه حفرة قال إياك يا غلام أن تسقط فقال هذا الغلام بجرأة متناهية بل إياك يا إمام أن تسقط إني إن سقطت سقطت وحدي وإنك إن سقطت سقط معك العالم
أبو حنيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه أو رحمه الله تعالى was once walking, and there was a teenager who was with him, and there was a hole in front of him. So Abu Hanifa told that teenager, watch, you fall into that hole. So that teenager told Abu Hanifa, or Abu Hanifa, you watch falling into this hole. Or Abu Hanifa, if I fall, I'm going to fall by myself, and if you fall as a great scholar and imam, everyone will fall behind you.
النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال ما من شيء أكرم على الله من شاب تائب.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is nothing more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal than a teenager who repents to Allah Almighty.
هذه مقدمة لكن صلب الموضوع الإنسان هو المخلوق الأول رتبة أي أكرم المخلوقات على الله إن عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان.
This is only an introduction into what the Sheikh is going to speak into, and he's saying that the human being is number one not in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal as being created by Allah, but number one in ranking, as Allah Azza wa Jal ranked him to be the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah Almighty said in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ, that we had offered this trust to the heavens, to the earth, and to the mountains, and was too heavy to carry, so they returned it back to Allah, so the human being carried it.
يقول الإمام علي رضي الله عنه ركب الملك من عقل بلا شهوة وركب الحيوان من شهوة بلا عقل وركب الإنسان من كليهما فإن سمى عقله على شهوته أصبح فوق الملائكة وإن سمت شهوته على عقله أصبح دون الحيوان.
Imam Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala structured the angels, created the angels with brains, with an intellect, but no desires. And He created the animals with desires and no intellect, no brains. And He created the human being with both an intellect and a desire. And then He says, if that human being overpowers his desires and uses intellect, he'll become better than the angels. And if that human being let his desires overpower him, he'll become lower than the animals.
الإنسان لأنه أكرم المخلوقات على الله خلقه للجنة، خلقه لجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض، أعد له جنة فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. ما معنى ذلك؟ دائرة المرئيات محدودة، أنت ذهبت إلى مدينة معينة، إلى بلاد الشام، إلى لبنان، لكن هناك مئات المدن في العالم، لكن تسمع بمئات المدن. أما الخواطر لا حدود لها. يقول الله عز وجل: أعددت لعبادي الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر.
Because the human being is the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Almighty had created him for the paradise, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith al-Qudsi, that I had prepared for my servants, for my righteous servants, where no eyes had seen, no eyes had seen, no ears had heard of, and no mind could think of. The things, the seen things that we see are limited to what we see, but there's a lot of unseen things that are out there that we don't see. If you go, for example, to any other place in the world, any country, you could see what you could see in front of you, but it doesn't mean that you saw everything. And same thing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared for His servants, where no eyes had seen, no ears had heard of, and no mind could even think of.
Allah Azza wa Jal خلق الإنسان للجنة وحمله الأمانة. ما الأمانة؟ نفسه التي بين جنبيه. فقد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. يعني تنجح وتتفوق وتسلم وتسعد وتفوز إذا زكيت نفسك. ويشقى الإنسان ويهلك في الدنيا وفي الآخرة إذا أبقاها جاهلة.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created the human being for the paradise and entrusted him with a trust, a great trust. This trust, it's his nafs, it's his soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told him to take care of it. As he says in Surah Al-Shams in the Quran Al-Kareem, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, those who look after and make their soul spiritually high with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had succeeded. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, and those ones who follow their desires had destroyed and become unsuccessful in this world. You look after your soul by following the orders of Allah Almighty and Glory. Inshallah, before I just go to the Shaykh, there's a car, red Toyota Crusader across the road on a driveway plate number P18740. Again, for all brothers and sisters, please remove your cars.
هذا ما قلته.
أيها الإخوة الكرام، الإنسان لأنه حمل الأمانة أعطاه الله مقومات هذه الأمانة. هم عدة مقومات هي محور هذه المحاضرة. المقوم الأول الكون. كل شيء في الكون يدل على الله، يدل على وجوده وعلى وحدانيته وعلى كماله، على أنه خالق وأنه رب وأنه مسير. موجود وواحد وكامل، أسماؤه حسنى وصفاته فضلة. كل شيء في الكون يدل عليه. إذن التفكر في خلق السماوات والأرض أعظم عبادة، لأن هذه العبادة تعرفك بالله عز وجل، وسأضرب بعض الأمثلة.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this human being the trust. Allah azza wa jal had given him the things that revolve around that trust. And the first thing that Allah azza wa jal had given him is this universe that indicates on the existence of Allah azza wa jal and the oneness of Allah Almighty and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah azza wa jal is the creator, Allah is the Lord, and Allah is the controller. And that's why thinking about the great creation of Allah is the greatest worship that gets you close to Allah Almighty and Glory.
Allah Azza wa Jal يقول يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض ثم يعرج إليه في يوم كان مقداره ألف سنة مما تعدون. القمر يدور حول الأرض، والله عز وجل يخاطب أمة تعد السنة القمرية. فإذا أخذنا خطا بين مركز الأرض ومركز القمر، أنا أخاطب طلاب متعلمون إن شاء الله، هذا الخط هو نصف قطر الدائرة التي هي مسار القمر حول الأرض. بحساب بسيط، نصف القطر ضرب 2 القطر ضرب 3.14 المحيط، نحن نحسب بسرعة كم يقطع القمر في رحلته حول الأرض في شهر واحد. ضرب 12 سنة ضرب 1000 بألف سنة. الآن معنا رقم عدد الكيلومترات التي يقطعها القمر في رحلته حول الأرض في 1000 عام. هذه الكيلومترات لو قسمناها على ثواني اليوم، في يوم كان مقداره 1000 سنة مما تعدون، المفاجأة أن الناتج هو سرعة الضوء الدقيقة 299,752. أي أن ما يقطعه القمر في رحلته حول الأرض في 1000 عام يقطعه الضوء في يوم واحد. هذا الموضوع عرض في مؤتمر الإعجاز العلمي الخامس المنعقد في موسكو، وعندي أصل الموضوع.
Allah Almighty says in the Quran al-Kareem that He is the one that organizes what's between the earth and the heavens, or what's between the heavens and the earth. And everything comes back to Him in a day that's evaluated or calculated to 1,000 years. The moon goes around the earth. The moon goes around the earth once a month and goes around itself. The Shaykh is calculating a calculation that the distance between the earth and the moon is equivalent to 299,752. And he's saying that if you want to calculate how many times, you want to calculate that calculation with 12 times a year, which goes once a month around the earth, and then 12 times a year will come to that, it will equal to what? The speed of light. Equal to the speed of light that the scholars just found out recently. He spoke about a law of calculation I did not catch to write them, but the whole idea is what the moon goes around the earth within a month, times that by 12 months a year, will then times that by 1,000 will equal to what the speed of light is.
محطة فضائية من أقوى المحطات، وكالة فضاء كبرى في العالم، التقطت صورة أو عرضت صورة في موقعها المعلوماتي. هذه الصورة إذا رأيتها لا تشك لثانية واحدة أنها وردة جورية بكل ما في هذه الكلمة من معنى. أوراق حمراء داكنة، وريقات خضراء زاهية، كأس أزرق في الوسط. لكن هذه الوردة ليست وردة، هي صورة انفجار لنجم اسمه عين القط، يبعد عنا 3000 سنة ضوئية. فإذا قرأنا القرآن الكريم يقول الله عز وجل: فإذا انشقت السماء فكانت وردة كالدهان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
One of the big satellite channels in the world had discovered in space a picture of a flower, a picture of a red rose flower with green roots. This, it's not actually a flower, it's just an explosion of a star in space. This star was called Ayn Qit, and this star is 3,000 years of a light speed. 3,000 years of a light speed, which is in billions of kilometers away from this earth. This indicates to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which He says in the Quran al-Kareem, in Surah al-Rahman, and when the heavens explode, it turns out to be like a red rose. فَبِأَيَّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. How could you deny the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
فَمِنْ أَجْلِ أَنْ تَعْرِفَ اللَّهِ يَجِبُ أَنْ تَتَفَكَّرَ فِي جِسْمِكَ وَفِي طَعَامِكَ وَشَرَابِكَ وَمِمَّا خُلِقْتَ وأن تتفكر في الكون، في المجرات، في الأرض، في السماء، في الجبال، في البحار، في النبات، في الحيوان، في الأسماك، في الأطيار. المؤمن يقول الله عنه: إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار.
For you to know Allah Almighty, you need to think about your creation. Think about the body that Allah had created for you. Think about the food that Allah Azza wa Jalla has sustained you. Think about the water that Allah Azza wa Jalla had given you. Think about why you created. Think about the heavens. Think about the earth. Think about the oceans. Think about the seas. Think about the mountains. Think about the trees. Think about the universe. This will get you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As He said in the Quran al-Kareem, that in the creation of the heavens and the earth, there are verses, signs for those ones who have minds and hearts to think of. Those ones who think. Those ones who think about the creation of this universe, about the heavens and the earth, standing up and sitting down, lying down, and then they say, "Oh Allah, you did not create this foolishly. Oh Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, forgive us and save us from the hellfire."
يقول الله عز وجل: سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم. إنسان يمشي في بستان، رأى أفعى، ما الذي يحصل له؟ ينطبع شكل الأفعى على شبكية العين إحساساً، ثم تنتقل هذه الصورة إلى الدماغ، إلى مركز البصر في الدماغ. في الدماغ مفهومات الأفعى تلقاها الإنسان من دراسته، من تجاربه، من قصص سمعها، من خبرات مؤلمة خاضها. يتشكل في الدماغ مفهوم الأفعى، فالدماغ مركز الإدراك، يدرك أن هذا أن هذه الأفعى ربما كانت لدغتها قاتلة. الدماغ ملك الجهاز العصبي، وهناك ملكة إلى جواره اسمها الغدة النخامية، ملكة الجهاز الهرموني. يلتمس ملك لملك، لأنه يلتمس الدماغ من الملكة أن تواجه هذا الخطر. الملكة عندها وزراء، أحد أكبر وزرائها الكظر، غدة فوق الكلية. هذه الغدة تتلقى أمرا من الملكة أن تواجه الخطر. الكظر يعطي أمرا إلى الدماء إلى القلب فيرتفع النبض، فالخائف لو عددت نبضه لكان 140 أو 160 أو 180. لماذا يرتفع النبض؟ من أجل أن يسرع القلب في نقل الدم للعضلات. هذا الذي خاف أمامه جهد كبير، إذن يحتاج إلى وقود. ما الذي يسرع الوقود؟ سرعة نبض القلب. الأمر الثاني يتجه إلى الرئتين كي تؤمن للقلب الأكسجين بوتيرة أسرع، لذلك الخائف يلهث، يتسرع نبض قلبه ويلهث. الخائف لونه جميل، زهر، ليس بحاجة إلى لون جميل وهو خائف. من أجل أن نوفر الدم الذي يجول في الأوعية المحيطية، فإذا هو بلون جميل تضيق لمعة الأوعية المحيطية كي يذهب الدم إلى العضلات، فالخائف يصفر لونه. والخائف يحتاج إلى سكر استثنائي إضافي يطرح في دمه كي يحترق ويشكل الطاقة التي يحتاجها الخائف. لو فحصنا دم الخائف لوجدنا كمية السكر أعلى من مستواها الطبيعي عند الخوف. والخائف ربما تلقى ضربة، ربما سال دمه، فلئلا يسيل دمه كله الكبد يفرز هرمون التجلط فيكون دمه لزجا لئلا يسيل بضربة واحدة. هذا يتم في ثواني معدودة، يرتفع نبض القلب، يرتفع وجيب الرئتين، يصفر لونه، يطرح في دمه كمية سكر إضافية، ويطرح في دمه أيضا هرمون التجلط. هذا خلق الله، فأروني ماذا خلق الذين من دونه.
Allah Azza wa Jal Almighty, He says in the Quran al-Kareem, so we're going to show them, we will show them our verses, our signs, our miracles in the horizon and within themselves. In the horizon and within themselves, so they know that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator. The Shaykh gives an example about a person, or if you see a snake, you'll be walking and you see a snake in front of you, being confronted by a snake. Straight away you look at that snake, your sight, the sense of sight will send a message to the brains. The brains with its experience and its knowledge about the snake will give the message saying that this snake is dangerous and this snake will attack and this snake will strike and bite, and if it bites will cause so on, so on, so on. All this comes from the brains, the intellect, which is the king of thinking, the king of knowledge, the king of experience. Next to the intellect, there's a queen. It's called the next to the intellect, there's a queen. That's a sense that sends all the message to the body, sends all the message to the rest of the bodies. The Shaykh is saying, when someone is frightened, when someone is scared, this king, queen will send the message to the kidneys. That will increase from the blood pressure. The blood will start floating more than usual, from 60 or 70 heartbeats into about 160 to 180, maybe even more, because you are frightened. The Shaykh is saying this is scientifically is because you are alert of something happening. And when you are quick to do something, you need to flow more blood into your body. After this blood flows into your body quickly, your color of your skin will change from being red into being yellow. Why? Because the blood that was assigned to keep your color pink or to keep your color white is now being utilized into something that's been alert. And then more sugar will be also floated in your blood. This sugar gives you the energy. And that's why if you test on someone that's frightened, you find the percentage of sugar is more than usual. And then from that, it will increase also, a certain hormone will be sent to the blood to make the blood more stiff, So in case you bleed, it does not come all at once. All these things that happened, the message that was sent by the sight to the brains, and from the brains sent through the senses to the body, and from the body into the blood floating and flowing more quicker, and then sugar increasing, and then all these hormones going through the body, goes through all in 1 second. And then he recites the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. Show us, is there any better creator than Allah Almighty?
إنسان يمشي في الطريق. إنسان يمشي في الطريق ورأه سيارة أطلقت بوقها ينحرف نحو اليمين. ما الذي حصل؟ الذي حصل أن في الدماغ جهاز بالغ التعقيد، الصوت المركبة وراءه وهو على يسار المركبة، فجاء صوت بوقها إلى أذنه اليمنى قبل اليسرى. في بالدماغ جهاز يحسب تفاضل وصول الصوتين، التفاضل 1/1620 جزء من الثانية. هذا الجهاز يكتشف أن السيارة من جهة اليمين، فالدماغ يعطي أمر للعضلات في الأرجل أن تتجه نحو اليسار.
He's saying someone is walking. You are walking on the middle of the street. And then a car comes from behind you, and automatically the driver beeps the horn. The message comes to your right ear. You understand that there's a car behind you. This right ear will give the message to the brains. The brains has a system to balance things. This system is a percentage of 1,620 of one. It gives you that message that the car is coming from behind you towards your right. So it sends the message to the left part of your legs to tell you to go towards the left. This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
جئت معي بموسوعة علمية مؤلفة من 20 قرص مدمج CD-ROM فيها آيات الله الدالة على عظمته، عن الحشرات، عن الجبال، عن الكون، عن البحار، عن الأسماك، عن الأطيار، صور لا تصدق، آيات لا تصدق، ومعها تعليقات من القرآن الكريم. هذه سأقدمها هدية لهذا المسجد، وأتمنى على الإخوة القائمين أن يروكم هذه الأفلام من حين لآخر، لأنها أقوى دليل على عظمة الله عز وجل. لكن أحد هذه الأفلام ينقض نظرية داروين، لا من عند المسلمين بل من عندهم هم، نقض كامل. إذا رأيتم هذا الفيلم ترون هذه النظرية في الوحل وتحت أقدامكم، لأن الكفر كله بني على هذه النظرية. وأرجو أن ترون هذا الفيلم كأول فيلم للشباب الذين يتلقون في التعليم العام هذه النظرية على أنها مسلم بها.
The Sheikh is saying that he came from overseas with the information in Siberia of over 20 CDs which speak about the great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the great miracles in the creation of Allah Almighty, and it's been related with verses of the Quran al-Kareem and comments of our Islamic knowledge. It speaks about all the different creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, whether in space or on earth, about the mountains, about the animals, the fish and the seas and the oceans and the trees and the mountains and so on and so on. And he's saying inshallah he's going to give that as a present to this community, to this mosque, for us to organize one day in which we show that on a big screen for people to think about the great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within that encyclopedia, there is a section or a chapter that speaks about the theory of Darwin, and the contradiction within that theory within the followers of Darwin and the non-believers who believe in that theory. And the Sheikh says this theory of Darwin, all the kufr, all the non-belief is revolved around it. It's revolved around that theory to destroy something or to destroy something called there is someone who's the creator of that human being. And inshallah, inshallah, نعلن عنا يوم من أيام.
الإنسان بالكون يعرف الله وبالشرع يعبده. إذا عرفت الأمر والآمر إذا عرفت الآمر والأمر تفانيت في طاعة الآمر. أما إذا عرفت الأمر ولم تعرف الآمر تفننت في التفلت من الأمر.
The human being with knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who know Allah azza wa jalla through his creation, through the universe, and with the religion, who know how to worship Allah Almighty and glory. If this human being knows Allah azza wa jalla, knows who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knows his orders, who worship Allah azza wa jalla precisely, and worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he wants. But if this human being knows the orders of Allah, but does not know that Allah azza wa jalla, he knows the orders and the obligations from Allah, but does not know Allah and the greatness of Allah, then he'll disobey Allah azza wa jalla with all ways.
ننتقل إلى المقوم الثاني وهو العقل. العقل مناط التكليف. العقل مؤلف من مبادئ ثلاث: مبدأ السببية، مبدأ الغائية، مبدأ عدم التناقض. فالعقل لا يفهم شيئا إلا بسبب، ولا يفهم شيئا إلا لغاية، ولا يفهم شيئا في تناقض. مبادئ العقل متوافقة تماما مع مبادئ الكون. لذلك إذا استعمل الإنسان عقله هداه إلى الله عز وجل. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق، خلق الإنسان من علق، اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم، علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. بالعقل يمكن أن تصل إلى الله من خلال الكون الذي هو تجسيد لأسماء الله الحسنى وصفاته الفضلة، أو هو مظهر لأسماء الله الحسنى وصفاته الفضلة.
The other part is the brains, the intellect. The intellect is which you are responsible for, and that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges you over the responsibility of you having intellect. The intellect has three things. It has why you did this, and it's got an objective that it's got to reach to, and it's got something called do not contradict. With those three things, that's how the intellect, the brains works. It works, why is this here for and why is that there for? It asks all the time the question of why. The other thing is, it's all the time got an objective in life. It's all the time got a goal of doing things. Why is this is because of that, and why is that is because of this. And the third thing is, the brains all the time does not accept anything that contradicts each other. The brain all the time accepts something that's all the time do not contradict with one another. With these principles of the brains, the brain understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His creation, because the creation of Allah is built on those three things. It's built on why Allah azza wa has created that, and it's built on the objective from behind the creation of Allah on this, and it's got no contradiction. And that's why when the human being uses his brains, will get him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially through the knowledge in which Allah had ordered his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iqra, recite in the name of Allah azza wa jal, recite in the name of Allah the creator, recite in the name of Allah the most generous, the one that had taught the human being, with the pen he taught the human being, what he does not know. With the brains, the human being will reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the creation of Allah of this universe. This universe is an indication about the greatness of Allah. This universe is an indication about the attributes of Allah. This universe is an indication about the powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
أيها الإخوة الكرام، أنت إذا فكرت في خلق السماوات والأرض تعرفت إلى الله، والعقل مناط التكليف. والآيات القرآنية التي تتحدث عن العلم والعقل تقترب من 1000 آية. والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان، أعطاك ميزانا ألا تطغوا في الميزان، الله عز وجل يقول أفلا يعقلون أفلا يتفكرون أفلا يتذكرون. إذن العقل مقوم آخر من مقومات التكليف.
By you thinking about the creation of the heavens and the earth, you note Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the brains is the center point of knowing all those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah had created the heavens and He is the one that raised the heavens and He put the mizan, the scale. Allah tatghaw fil mizan, do not treat this scale unjustly. Do not treat this scale unjustly. This scale is your brains. This scale is your intellect. And that's why constantly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say in the Quran al-Kareem, don't they ever use their brains? Don't they ever meditate about the creation of Allah? Don't they ever think about Allah azza wa jalla's creation? In many verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that.
المقوم الثالث هو الفطرة. أنت جبلت جبلة وفطرت فطرة راقية جدا بحيث تعرف أنك أخطأت ذاتيا من دون معلم. الدليل ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها. أي أنها إذا فجرت تعرف ذاتيا أنها فجرت، وإذا اتقت تعرف أنها اتقت. العقل ميزان علمي والفطرة ميزان أخلاقي. أنت إذا أعطيت قطة قطعة لحم تأكلها أمامك، أما إذا خطفتها تأكلها بعيدة عنك. إذن أدركت بفطرتها أنها أخطأت. الإنسان من باب أولى. ما من إنسان على وجه الأرض يخطئ إلا ويعلم ذاتيا أنه مخطئ. ما من إنسان يحسن إلا ويعلم أنه محسن. فالله عز وجل فضلاً عن الكون الذي يدل عليه وعن العقل الذي يوصل إليه أعطاك فطرة تكشف لك خطأك. لذلك الإنسان إذا لم يتلقى رسالة سماوية يحاسب على عقله وعلى فطرته. عقله كافٍ كي يوصلك إليه، وفطرتك كافية أن تكشف لك غطاءك.
The other thing is your nature. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created for every human being nature, which we call fitra. The human being knows that if he done good by his nature, and if he does bad by his nature, whether he knows the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on him or no. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And a soul that what Allah azza wa jalla created it, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guarded it to its good and to its bad. The brains is the system that balances the knowledge. And the fitra is the system that balances the morals. The brains is what accepts the knowledge. And the fitra, the nature, is what acts upon the morals of this knowledge. For example, if a cat, he gave an example of a cat. If a cat comes and steals meat, if it comes and takes the meat without the permission of its owner, the cat will take it and run away with it and eat it somewhere else. But if you come up to that cat and give that cat the meat, will eat it in front of you. And subhanAllah, this cat is an animal, but its natural instinct and knew that what's right and what's wrong. Same thing with the human being, who know more than the cat. If the cat doesn't have brains, the human being does have that brain. With his knowledge, he'll know Allah Azza wa Jalla with his knowledge, and he'll get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his natural instinct. And that's why people who do not receive the message, they'll be judged over the intellect that Allah had given them, and they'll be judged over the natural instinct that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created for them.
والمقوم الرابع هو الشهوة. أودع الله في الإنسان شهوات كثيرة، من أبرزها شهوة إلى الطعام والشراب حفاظا على الفرد، وشهوة إلى المرأة حفاظا على الجنس على بقاء النوع، وشهوة حفاظا على الذكر، تأكيد الذات. هذه الشهوات حيادية، إما أن تكون سلما نرقى به أو دركات نهوي بها. هذه الشهوات توظف في الحق كما توظف في الباطل، تكون طريقا للسعادة أو طريق للهلاك. اشتهى الإنسان المال فكسبه كسبا مشروعا، اشتهى المرأة فتزوج، اشتهى أن يكون شخصية مهمة فتعلم العلم وعلمه، اشتهى المال فسرق سقط، اشتهى المرأة فزنى، اشتهى أن يكون كبيرا في المجتمع فارتكب جريمة فصوره نشرت في الصحف. إذن هذه الشهوات حيادية، نرقى بها أو نهلك بها.
The other thing is the desires that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created for every human being. These desires are in great variety. There's a lot of desires. There's the desire of the food and the water. And there's the desire of the woman, and there's the desire of the remembrance or fame. The desire of the food and water is to keep you alive. The desire of the woman is to keep the offsprings continuing in this world. And the desire of fame or being remembered to you, to prove the existence of this person. These things are used for the good and used for the bad. Used for the truth and used for the false. These things take you to happiness, take you to sadness. These things will get you up or get you down. These things will give you respect or give you disgrace. He said someone that wanted the money, that wanted the food and water, he went and worked for the halal money and got the right or the halal money. And from the halal money, he went and got married. And from that marriage, he got the offsprings. And then he wanted to be remembered, or he wanted to prove his existence. Then he went to seek knowledge, and with his knowledge, spread that knowledge to people. This is one good side. Another person wanted the food and water, so he went and stole money. From stealing that money, he wanted a woman, so he went and committed adultery or fornication. And then he wanted to be famous and wanted to be well known or recognized. So he went and committed a crime. With that crime, he was very well known and his pictures was all over the newspaper. This person, the first one, a person that fulfilled his desires the proper way, he was happy and succeeded in this world. The other one fulfilled the same desires in a different way, he failed in this world and he was sad in this world.
ما من شهوة أودعها الله في الإنسان إلا وجعل لها قناة نظيفة تسري خلالها. ليس في الإسلام حرمان ولكن فيه تنظيم. ليس في الإسلام حرمان ولكن فيه تنظيم. ومن أضل ممن اتبع هواه بغير هدى من الله. المعنى المخالف، لو أنك اتبعت الهوى وفق منهج الله لا شيء عليك إطلاقا. فلذلك الشهوات ما أودعها الله في الإنسان إلا لنرقى بها صابرين وشاكرين إلى رب الأرض والسماوات.
الله سبحانه وتعالى has created all different desires in every human being. And for every desire, Allah Azza wa Jal had made a tunnel or a channel for this person to fulfill his desires the proper way. So every desire has its own proper way of fulfilling this desire. And there's a lot of other different ways which is not proper and wrong and evil to fulfill that desire. In Islam, there's no such thing called to forbid that desire from fulfilling its rights. But there's something called organization. There's something called this desire must follow a proper organization. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and no one is more astray than someone fulfilling his desires بغير هدى من الله, without guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, that those ones who follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill their desires are those ones who have been guided by Allah Almighty and Glory. So for every desire, there is a way for fulfilling that desire. But that way is the way that Allah guides you to and shows you and accepts. And there's a lot of other ways that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you could fulfill those desires. These ways either get you up to Allah or get you down and far away from Allah Almighty.
المقوم الخامس حرية الاختيار. لو أن الله أجبر عباده على الطاعة لبطل الثواب، لو أجبرهم على المعصية لبطل العقاب. حرية الاختيار أصل من أصول الدين. إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا ولكل وجهة هو موليها فاستبقوا الخيرات. حرية الاختيار تثمن العمل، لا قيمة للعمل إذا كنت مكرها عليه، لا قيمة للعمل إذا كنت مجبورا عليه، لا قيمة لترك المعصية إذا كنت مجبورا على تركها. فلذلك أعظم شيء في الإنسان أنه حر. وقال الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من شيء كذلك كذب الذين من قبلهم حتى ذاقوا بأسنا قل هل عندكم من علم فتخرجوه لنا إن تتبعون إلا الظن وإن أنتم إلا تخرصون.
The other thing is the option of choosing. Allah gives you the choice of choosing what's right and gives you the choice of choosing what's wrong. If people were forced to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, then there is no point of rewards. And if our people are forced or compelled to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there's no point of punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where are those ones who guarded them to the path, imma shakira wa imma kafura. It's either he thanks and worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or disbelieves and disobeys Allah Almighty and Glory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, for every one of them, there is a path for them to follow. For every one of them, there is a path for them to follow. There is a choice for them to take. There is no value. There is no value to any action that if someone is being forced. There is no value to any good if he's being forced. And there is no value to any bad if he's being forced. Allah gives you the choice, so the value comes, the value of the reward or the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sayyidina Umar, جاءه رجل شارب للخمر. فقال أقيموا عليه الحد العقاب. فقال والله يا أمير المؤمنين إن الله قدر علي ذلك. فقال أقيموا عليه الحد مرتين، مرة لأنه شرب الخمر ومرة لأنه افترى على الله. قال لويحك يا هذا، إن قضاء الله لم يخرجك من الاختيار إلى الاضطرار. وحينما اعتقد المسلمون عقيدة الجبر شلت حركتهم وأصبحوا في مؤقرة الأمم. وما من عقيدة تهدم هذا الإسلام العظيم وتهدم المسلمين كأن يعتقد المسلم أنه مجبر على أعماله السيئة. قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون.
سيدنا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه was once given to him a man who had committed an offense of drinking alcohol. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as the Muslim leader, ordered the companions or ordered the people around, the soldiers around Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to lash him as the penalty of someone drinking alcohol. So this man said, O Umar, how could you do something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written on me? How could you do something or punish me for something that Allah Azza wa Jal had written on me? So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, give him the penalty twice. Double the penalty on him. Once for drinking alcohol and the other one for lying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not force you to drink alcohol. And if the Muslims start to think that I've been forced to do any action, whether the good or bad, that's when they start to go down. That's when they start to get down and the value of the good deed is start to be worn away. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, say that my Lord does not order for the evil, does not order for the fahsha. You say on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you do not know. you say on Allah Azza wa Jal what you do not have knowledge of, we as Muslims, once we start to think of the compulsion over us, that we must do this, I must do that without any options, that's when we start to get down.
المقوم الأخير الشرع منهج الله عز وجل افعل ولا تفعل الحلال والحرام هذا الشرع الحسن ما حسنه الشرع والقبيح ما قبحه الشرع إذا حكمت عقلك في شيء ووصل إلى نتيجة أقرها الشرع فنعم العقل عقلك أما إذا استعملت عقلك وأوصلك إلى نتيجة تخالف الشرع فبئس العقل عقلك إنه فكر وقدر فقتل كيف قدر ثم قتل كيف قدر ثم نظر ثم عبس وبسر وقال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر إنه قول البشر من هو الضابط لعمل العقل وشعور الفطرة هو الشرع الشرع حكم على العقل وحكم على الفطرة الحسن ما حسنه الشرع والقبيح ما قبحه الشرع
The other thing is the shara, the religion, the Islamic rules, which says do and don't do, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And this relies on what the religion finds good is good, and what the religion finds bad is bad. If your intellect and your natural instinct does act upon what's good, and this goes with the shara, this goes with the religion, then your intellect and your natural instinct are good. But if your intellect and your natural instinct do something that's against the religion, then your intellect and your natural instinct is bad. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the story of this non-believer, as he said, he thought and evaluated. And then Allah azza wa jalla said, curse upon him of what he thought and evaluated. About this non-believer that came and listened to the verses of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knew these verses are the right verses and the verses that are not been made by a man. So he thought about it and then he went against it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, curse upon him what he thought and what he had balanced. The balance of our religion, the balance of the intellect and the natural instinct is the religion. The religion is what puts the guidelines to this intellect. And what put the guidelines for this natural instinct?
في النهاية الشرع طريق معبد والمحرك هو الشهوة والمقود هو العقل مهمة العقل أن يضبط اندفاع المحرك وأن يبقيه على الطريق مهمة العقل أن يحسن توجيه هذه المركبة المندفعة بقوة المحرك ينبغي أن يبقيها على الطريق كي يسلم ويسعد والحمد لله رب العالمين
At last, the شرع, the religion is the path, it's the road, a tarred road. And the car or the vehicle is the desires. And the one that's behind the car and controlling the car and driving the car and controlling the steering wheel is the intellect. So the intellect's job is to make sure that this desire is moving on a right path, the path of the religion, the path of Islam. And that's the end of the Shaykh's lecture.
شكراً لحضوركم وإصغائكم وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقكم وأن يجعلكم أملاً لأمتكم وأن تكونوا قرة عين لوالديكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
جزا الله عنا شيخ راتب النابلسي ما الله عز وجل reward شيخ راتب النابلسي for his inspiring talk and please forgive me for my shortcomings towards this translation and inshallah we'll hear more of Dr. راتب النابلسي والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله